Welcome to the January 23rd service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Tommy Iafredi. Rev Pam's reflection is a response to issues raised in Tommy's reading from Intent versus Impact, Narrowing the Gap. While we may be living and acting with the best of intentions, we still may end up hurting others. Rev Pam explores the relation between intention and impact and how to navigate our way back into right relation when they collide. Also, during the service, we recognize new members.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley on the native lands of the Tutelo and Monacan people, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Tommy Iafredi, and I'm joining you from upstate New York on the custodial lands and waters of the Onondaga, and today I'm pleased to be serving as today's worship associate from afar with Rev Pam. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad that you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitor's card in the chat or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you wish to be shared aloud today, you'll find a link in the chat or cards that are available near the entrance to the sanctuary that someone will collect during the opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Check out the calendar on our website for times, location, Zoom links, and contact information. Thank you to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make these activities possible.
As we prepare for worship, there's some things we need to remember, but there's an obvious elephant in the room, which is that I'm wearing this plastic mask today. I had an object lesson this past week. I was in a room with someone. We were sitting far apart, but we weren't wearing masks. And then 2 days later, they got a positive test result. So I quarantined over the weekend and I tested twice, and I got Lindsay Marr's assurance that if I had a negative test this morning, it would be okay for me to be with you, but I want to protect you from any possibilities. I'll have a PCR test this week. So apologies if it's harder to hear, but it's more important that we're all safe. I also want to lift up a couple of announcements. One is, after the service today at 11:30 on Zoom will be a community conversation on a very timely topic, abortion, for, against, or somewhere in between. You may know that this is the anniversary weekend of Roe v. Wade, and also there are cases in front of the Supreme Court that could really change the landscape for women and their choice. So, if that's something you'd like to talk about in a calm and respectful way, please join Zoom at 11:30. Also, after the service, people in the sanctuary can go out through the back, out the accessible doorway to the Crescent Garden for coffee and conversation, if it's warm enough for you. Sorry, so if you'd like to join the community conversation, it will probably be in Elarth Hall also, so it'll be a hybrid opportunity. And now I'd like to invite Sarah Catlett, part of our Lifespan Faith Development team, up to talk about what the children are doing today.
Good morning. This morning, Pre-K is reading Not Quite Narwhal and making a paper plate unicorn. K2 is reading the book Brave and making everyday superheroes. And 3-5 is reading I Am Every Good Thing and making positive affirmation mirrors. And middle school will be watching the Twilight Zone episode The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street and talking about paranoia.
Thank you. Kind of makes you wish you were downstairs, doesn't it? So now is the most exciting technological part of our service, when we get to greet each other from near and far. So if you are at home, if you turn on your video, we're going to put the Zoom screen up on the screens here, and if you want to put in the chat where you are joining us from this morning, I'll read those places aloud while you wave at the people in the sanctuary. There's some shy people probably drinking coffee in their pajamas. Oh, there they are. We are so glad to see your smiling faces. From Roanoke and Blacksburg. Apparently that's the only places we're from this morning. Oh, here we go, Sunny Radford, Blacksburg, Christiansburg. More Sunny Radford. Oh, Irene and Molly are still in South Florida. They're gonna bring sunshine back with them next week. Blacksburg, Giles County, Blacksburg, Yellow Sulphur Springs, Denise and Frank from Radford. Welcome, we're so glad you are here this morning with us. And now, those in the room get to come on camera, and I will try to do a good slow, not making you dizzy. There's Brian, our guest, our vibraphonist. Thank you, Brian, that was a beautiful piece. You're looking forward to more. I am getting much steadier at this, aren't I? I was told that I was making some people seasick, so here we go. It is so good to be together in this odd but wonderful way. Ah, it is good to be together. And now we go from the technological craziness to creating sacred space. Tommy?
Yes. Please join me, everyone, in reading the words on the screen as we light the chalice today. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. This morning's opening words were written by the Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolfe. This is a congregation that gathers in faith, not faith in one religion or one God or any one way. We gather in faith of the power of diversity, the power of love, and the hope of a world transformed by our care. We gather in faith in ourselves and those around us, not a faith that requires perfection or rightness in one another, rather a faith that in our shared imperfection we may learn to stumble and fall together. Faith that we will help one another to rise and to try again and again. We are Unitarian Universalists.
This morning, we will welcome new members into our UUC community. And we get to do it in this new and strange hybrid way, people who are online and in the room. I'll invite Lisa Vanello, member of our Connections Committee, to introduce our newest members. If you're in the room, come up when she calls your name. If you're online, know that we'll be seeing you on the screens here in the room.
We have 9 new members today, and we'll start with those at home. We have Pat and Dave Bevan, and Pat grew up near Cincinnati and moved to Blacksburg in 1981 by way of Richmond to attend graduate school at VT. There she met Dave and they married in 1985. Pat had a varied career, hospital dietitian, art department slide curator, university instructional designer, and finally, trainer in nonviolent communication. This last calling led her to begin studying and practicing Buddhism and to attend UUC, where she found what she was hoping for, a spiritual community focused on compassion, open-heartedness, and open-mindedness. Pat still enjoys teaching nonviolent communication, as well as painting, knitting, swimming, and hopefully soon again, horseback riding. Dave is a native of Ohio and grew up and was educated in the Midwest. He came to Blacksburg in 1980 and served as a faculty member in the Department of Biochemistry at VT until his retirement in 2018. The activities he enjoys are strength training, swimming, and Argentine tango, the history, the culture, the music, and the dance. He He began attending services at UUC on Christmas Eve in 2018, lured by his wife and the promise of great music. That promise was fulfilled, and Dave was also attracted by the focus on compassion and community without judgment regarding system belief systems. Ali D. Hoff started attending UUC in middle school and fell in love with the RE program so much that she served as a teen assistant all throughout high school. She was also a youth leader for the high school youth group, YRUU, which was lots of fun. She left for 2 years to go to college in Newport News, but has recently transferred back to VT, where she's studying neuroscience. She was very excited to be back at UUC and to finally have her name in our membership book. Seneca Haynes grew up in Charlottesville and is a VT alumni. He studied and practiced ecological systems design for over 2 decades and is now building a farm here in our community. He enjoys campfires with friends, tabletop gaming, mosses and lichens, and afternoons on the river. Lori Bachman, who I believe is online. Oh, there she is.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, hi. She's the proud mom of two, was born in Radford, and as her dad was military, they lived everywhere else but here for the next 20 years. She returned to the area 30 years ago to be with family. She found UUC in 2018 through many of our wonderful groups. She loves anything outside, such as gardening, hiking, and kayaking. Okay, now we have people who are in the sanctuary, and I believe Lucas has set up X's on the floor, so when your name is called, you can come up and find a spot, and you'll be safely 6 feet apart. So we have Ann Arnold, grew up in the First Parish Unitarian Church of Scituate, Massachusetts. While she forayed into church life in the Episcopal Church over the years, her Unitarian Foundation always directed her path in life. All she ever wanted was to be a mother, and her 3 amazing children, which will be in the newsletter, so you'll get to see all of the family together. She became a nurse at 42 and had a long career working in a cardiac office in Florida. At 69, she retired and moved to Pulaski to live near her brother and his wife. And her brother is visiting us today over by the picture over there. She loves the changes of season here and the chance to garden and hike. She has 7 grandchildren and 1 great-granddaughter. Her daughter and her 2 children will be coming to live with her in February, and she hopes to have them come with her to be part of our Sunday RE program. Cynthia Bowdy and her husband John relocated to Blacksburg from Atlanta in 2008, and Cynthia began participating with our UUC community in July 2021. She's a maker of many things and enjoys experimenting with painting, multimedia, and fiber creations such as croquet. She's grateful for the many opportunities to serve and the wonderful sense of community here at UUC. She looks forward to being able to continue to contribute and participate as a member. And then we have Millie McKinley, was born and raised in Miami. She put college on hold to marry and moved to Pennsylvania, where she raised her 2 children. She finished college with a BS in mental health technology and spent 28 years as a clinical counselor. She has a 17-year-old grandson graduating from high school and looking at colleges, including Virginia Tech, and she's hoping he picks Virginia Tech. She loves gardening. She's now been demoted to raise beds and pots, painting, hand-built pottery, and creative sewing. And lastly, Lucas Maki is a full-time software developer at the University of Virginia, and he's now our new amazing head of our AV committee. He can truly say he's grown up in this congregation. In 2004, he started coming to UUC with his mother, Lisa, after moving to Blacksburg from Tennessee. And Lisa's also here with us today. Oh, there she is. Great to have you here. He's gone through RE, was a teen assistant, and bridged from YRUU in 2018. His interests include robotics, engineering, AV technology, and of course, being a UU.
So, those of you at home and in the sanctuary, your decision to join your own spiritual journeys to our collective journey honors and affirms this congregation. For that, we are grateful. Becoming a member of this congregation requires a simple act, signing the membership book, but it has profound implications. It means you have come to know UUC as your spiritual home. You commit to sustaining and supporting this congregation for those who have not yet found it, and you have entered into a religious movement with a centuries-long history of enriching our world with the values of freedom, reason, and tolerance. As UUs, we don't commit to a set of beliefs or a creed. Instead, we covenant with one another. We make promises of how we will be together in this religious community. Today, we will all affirm that covenant. Now, I now invite Bob Stinson, president of the board, the executive board, to lead us in a brief ritual of welcome and celebration.
When it comes time to respond, those of you on Zoom can unmute yourself and respond to his questions with the appropriate response, I do or we will. We welcome you, our newest members, to join us in our mission to inspire spiritual and ethical growth, to create compassionate community, and to transform our community and the world through courageous love. Do you feel freely choose to become a member of this congregation with knowledge of the responsibilities and privileges of membership, with willingness to learn, grow, and contribute your care to this congregation and to the larger movement of Unitarian Universalism?
I do.
Thank you. Members of the Unitarian Universalist congregation, will you welcome these good people into our community to share your companionship and your vision?
I do. I do.
Delayed. Do you pledge yourselves anew to this congregation and to all its members in freedom, love, and service?
We do.
We do.
We do.
So let us acknowledge the commitments we make as members and friends of this congregation by reading our covenant, led by Tommy.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power
of our words with care,
express gratitude, honor
our differences,
help one another, and welcome
all.
We
will communicate directly
and passionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends,
and reconnect.
While we celebrate
the words of our mission
of this covenant,
we affirm our mission
through our actions.
Sorry, I should have had everyone muted except for Tommy, but now I invite everyone at home and everyone in the room to unmute yourselves. And if we could go to the next slide so we can see the faces of our new members again. And I invite us all to say all together, welcome. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, that was exciting. Tommy, I think it's your turn now.
Sure. One way that we fulfill our mission as UUs is by collecting an offering. And every week, our congregation shares half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the Montgomery County Emergency Assistance Program, whose mission is to assist Montgomery County residents in maintaining their households and restoring their self-sufficiency. This can be achieved by serving the immediate, emergency, and temporary needs of low-income, unemployed, elderly, or handicapped individuals and families. You may give online using the link in the chat or through the other ways listed on the screen. You'll be able to give after the service as well. For those at the UUC who would like to give cash or check, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary. Thank you all for your generosity. As we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Brian playing Hey Jude by the Beatles, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain a distance between yourself and others while doing so. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Please join me, everyone, as we accept these offerings together. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Now I invite you into a mood of meditation. Our meditation this morning was written by my colleague, Reverend Karen G. Johnston. So settle in your seat. Take a breath. Maybe close your eyes. Wise ones say, we can be good, good enough, and imperfect, all at the same time. Wise ones say that we can listen to understand, not necessarily agree, and be moved by a truth that does not make sense to our lived experience, and let it change our world. They tell us also to raise up those who are trodden upon, to cultivate humility when the world would rather we grow certitude in our hearts. Wise ones remind us, we can recognize that those who do harm do not always intend to, and that it is still ours to reckon with the impact. They tell us that we can say, I don't know, and I'm not sure, and still be warrior. Still be whole, still be leader. In fact, the kind of leader we long for. Wise ones tell us to pay attention to not just the what, but also the how. May this be the meditation of our hearts. May this be the words of our mouths, not just the what, but also the how. And may we be the wise ones today and every day. Amen. And blessed be.
Our reading today is from the blog titled Intent versus Impact, Narrowing the Gap. Impact versus Intent. Yes, I'm talking about that much dreaded moment when someone tells you that something you just said or done hurts or has a negative impact in some way. Perhaps it came across as racist or sexist or both, or demeaning in some other way. And you, and by you, I mean all of us humans, but in these times, particularly those of us who are white, respond, "But I didn't mean it that way." I want to talk about the relationship between intent and impact inside us. Intent may make no difference to those outside us. The impact is the same. But it makes a big difference inside us. It is our motivation to continue learning. Suppose, for example, I'm playing baseball or softball. I'm at the plate. The pitch comes. I swing mightily and miss. The fact that I meant to hit a homer will not change the score. If I, as quarterback, throw an interception, the refs won't say, "Oh, you meant to throw a touchdown pass? Well, interception forgiven and 6 points to your team." If I'm intending to drive a nail into a board but hit my thumb instead, my thumb will hurt as much as if I meant to hit it. And the nail will be just as undriven. If I write a piece of code to do a calculation, the computer running the code will not care diddly about my intent. Really, they don't. It only cares about the actual code. In all of those circumstances, do I protest about my intent? No. Well, maybe a little. But I know that the task before me is to practice and improve. Here's my point. It takes skill and practice to align actual impact with intent. We use the discrepancy between intent and impact all the time to tell us where our skills need refinement.
But I didn't mean it that way. That's not what I meant. I'm sorry you took it that way. Have you ever heard yourself saying those words? I have. It's hard when someone tells us we've done or said something wrong. It's frustrating to feel misunderstood. It hurts to know we've offended or hurt someone, especially someone we love, especially when we didn't mean to, when that wasn't our intention. And when we feel some of these feelings, we can get defensive. Instead of listening and hearing how our words or actions felt to someone else, our immediate reaction can be to explain why they should not feel the way they feel. Don't you love it when somebody tells you that? As the reading suggests, the current discussion about intent versus impact comes out of racial justice and anti-racism work. And when we say or do something that comes across as racist, it can be really painful, especially for those who identify as good people. I'll never forget the time one of my Black students answered my redirection of one of his behaviors with the words, "You're just saying that because I'm Black." It was like a dagger through my heart. I wasn't a racist. And whatever I told him to do, or more likely to stop doing, may not have had anything to do with his race. But it felt that way to him. I didn't understand back then how often people whose identities are marginalized in some way hear words that are demeaning or dehumanizing. I didn't know what microaggressions were, those everyday slights, indignities, and put-downs, and insults that members of marginalized groups experience in their day-to-day interactions with individuals who are often unaware that they've engaged in an offensive or demeaning way. They may seem slight to people who don't experience them, but when a person has such interactions over and over and over again, the impact builds up. like death by a thousand paper cuts. We've talked about microaggressions before in worship and in groups sponsored by our anti-racism group. And next month, UUC is partnering with Blacksburg Presbyterian Church to offer workshops where we can learn and actually practice avoiding and interrupting microaggressions in other ways. Our impact doesn't match our intentions. You'll find the link to sign up in the weekly announcements and the newsletter. But you don't have to wait until then. In the past week or two, as I've been thinking about it, I've run into several situations where I had to stop and listen and think about the interplay of intent and impact. When people were impacted by words in ways that might not have been intended. You can probably think of some times when someone said something to you, they might have even meant it as a compliment, but it stung, or the other way around. It's helpful to think about the examples Tommy read about missing the ball, throwing an interception, hitting your thumb, or messing up some computer code. Those are all actions that have impacts that don't match the intent. No one would assume that you meant to strike out or throw an interception or hit your thumb. These actions may mean that you're not a great athlete or carpenter or coder, but they do not mean that you're a bad person. But when we're engaged in a conversation or a relationship with another person, things get messier. If you say something and it has an impact that you didn't intend, the recipient of your words or action may not know whether you intended it the way they heard it or not. It could be that the remark that you made was truly meant as a compliment, but it reflects an implicit bias that you weren't aware of. I think of a terrible example of someone calling Barack Obama articulate and bright and clean. You remember that? As if that were an unusual thing for African Americans. Or it could be that the remark was ill-intended and meant to hurt. But no matter the intent, good or bad, the impact doesn't change. It still hurts. And if the interaction is around racism, sexism, ableism, homophobia, if someone brings it to our attention, it can trigger our defensiveness because it seems to imply that we are a bad person, a racist or a sexist or whatever. But as Jamie Ett explains in Intent Versus Impact, Why Your Intentions Don't Really Matter, she writes, just because you did something sexist doesn't mean that you are a sexist. Just because you said something racist doesn't mean that you are a racist. When your actions are called into question, it's important to recognize that that's all that is being called into question. Your actions, not your overall character. Remembering that may help us become less defensive. But really, the fact that someone was willing to put in the effort to let us know that our impact was harmful is another reason to be less defensive. When someone lets me know that I've hurt them, it definitely stings at first. But then I get the chance to listen, to learn, to apologize, and then do better. As our reading suggests, when our actions are called into question, we are getting valuable information that will help us do better in the future. It advises, if someone tells you that something you said or did was hurtful, and that was not what you meant to happen, don't use that as an excuse. Instead, take it as a cue that your skills need improvement. There's no need then to visit all your explanations on the other person, though those explanations may be useful to you as you seek to understand where your assumptions led you astray. Instead, listen to what the person is saying and do what is needed to repair the communication. Then take that information and use it to refine your skills. If someone takes the time and emotional energy to let us know that we've messed up, it may be because they trust that we care enough to try to do better. Of course, we don't know their intentions unless we ask, but the impact would be the same. An opportunity, if somewhat painful, to learn and grow. Now, it seems especially appropriate to me to consider the importance of impact over intent on a day when we welcome new members into our congregation. Part of why many of us belong to this congregation is because it is a place where we are encouraged and can practice being our best selves. As Sunshine Jeremiah Wolfe writes in our opening words, ours is not a faith that requires perfection or rightness in one another, rather a faith that in our shared imperfection, we may learn to stumble and fall together. Faith that we will try to help one another rise and try again and again. This is a community where we're not expected to be perfect, but to be our full and fully human selves, where we can make mistakes and learn together, where we can gain enough trust in one another that we can tell each other when something hurts, and we can listen when we have hurt. Our covenant, the one we read as part of the new member recognition ceremony, is part of why UUC is a good place to practice being our best selves. The covenant sets out our expectations for one another, creating a container to risk learning and growing together. But it will only work if we use it. If someone doesn't listen respectfully, doesn't use the power of their words with care, doesn't express gratitude, doesn't honor our differences, help one another, or welcome all, it is our responsibility to let them know, to hold themselves and ourselves accountable. If someone doesn't communicate directly or honestly or with compassion, it is our responsibility to let them know, to hold them and ourselves accountable. So some of you might have heard I left out one phrase from the covenant because I want to consider it in the context of intent versus impact. Our covenant says we will assume good intentions. And I know why that phrase is there. We assume good intentions, it helps us to resolve conflicts. But as we explore ways to live into our commitment to the eighth principle, to dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions, we may want to revisit this part of our covenant. What happens when we focus on people's intentions, which we might assume we know, but we cannot know, instead of their words or actions, which we can hear and see? Think about that for a minute. Unitarian Universalist Reverend Dr. Kristen L. Harper gives us some food for thought in her book, The Darkness Divine, A Loving Challenge to My Faith. She writes, "The phrase 'assume goodwill' is often added to the covenants we create in our congregations. Over the nearly 50 years I have been a Unitarian Universalist, I have come to the conclusion," she writes, "that those with privilege routinely use it to excuse their lack of attention to what they say and do, to people with marginalized identities. When we," she writes, "name the hurt that has been caused, we become the problem. If we had only assumed goodwill, then we would not feel harmed, or would recognize our feelings as unreasonable. The result of being too sensitive or projecting our feelings onto other people. The language of assuming goodwill distorts our reality and blames people of color who are hurt by the words and actions of their white companions in faith." Ouch. As a person who loves covenants, who loves Unitarian Universalism, it hurts to hear that some members in our congregations are being hurt by their white companions in faith. It hurts to learn that when they name the hurt that has been caused, their hurt, they become the problem instead of what caused the harm. It hurts to know that they are being told to not feel the hurt that they feel. But my pain is not the point, is it? It stings. But now we have the opportunity to listen, to learn, to apologize, and to do better. May we make that so. Heaven knows where we are going, but we'll get there. It will be hard, but it will be worth it. And we get to go there together. Extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of this community, the light of truth, and the fire of commitment. Take that in our hearts until we are together again.